hear from the Word. First, we're going to have D'Angelo, who opened the breaking of bread. He's going to come up and share his testimony. And then Olivia will follow sharing her testimony. And then Chris will be sharing from the Word. And then we'll close it out with his testimony as well. So just want to thank the Lord for this opportunity for all of us to welcome them and to hear what God has to say through them. Just commit to them now. And
Thank you for having me. And as Brian said, my name is D'Angelo Castillo. Some of you know my family, some of you may not. But I would like to share with you what God has been doing in my life these past few years. Because the story of my salvation is very simple. I was saved at a young age. I accepted the Lord during a morning Bible lesson with my mom back when I was homeschooled. So I want to share with you what God has been doing recently, because that story that started back there has continued all the way to the present day. And so first, let's back up a few years. I had just finished undergrad at Santa Clara University, and I was kind of burnt out and a little discouraged because, well, for multiple reasons. But one was that I had pushed myself really hard academically, and so I was tired from that. And then also I had gotten my heart broken, which was also discouraging for me. But then I think the most discouraging thing was I was involved in some Christian ministries at Santa Clara University. And they had all died out after COVID. We hadn't been able to keep the momentum going. So I was feeling a bit like a failure because I had been involved in leadership in some of those ministries. So during the following year, my first year of grad school at San Jose State, I decided to take it easier a bit, and I told myself I was just resting, but I think really I was, to some extent, almost goofing around a bit. I don't know. I was kind of aimless, and that's not to say that that year wasn't without its fruit, and there was certainly, I was still involved in kids' ministry, I was still, following the Lord, but I think there's some amount of aimlessness to that year, and a lack of direction and focus. I knew I was supposed to be sharing the gospel, and I really wanted to, but I wasn't really sure how, and I knew I also was supposed to draw nearer to God, and I wanted to do that too, but I also wasn't quite sure how, what that looked like for me at that point. So here I was, a bit aimless in that year, that was 2023 to 2024, but praise the Lord, he gave me some direction for that summer of 2024, and so that is where we get to the summer of 2024, what I like to call the glorious summer. It was awesome. I served at VBS at Hillview and then at Koinonia's kids camp and junior high camp. And so it was 3 weeks all in a row in July. And it was awesome. God really let me taste the joy of serving him those 3 weeks. And I could feel the perfect alignment of the gifts he had given me and my own natural inclinations, personal interests, and God's calling to me, to those ministries. And I also got to enjoy some sweet fellowship with some fellow believers, some dear brothers and sisters, so shout out to my VBS crew, and to all the people at Koinonia. I got to enjoy that, and so I learned, wow, like, not only is serving the Lord such a joy, but doing it with fellow believers, like-minded believers, is also such a joy. So I was very encouraged after that summer. And so in the coming year, I was offered the opportunity to join something called Core Group at Saltworks at Hillview. So it's kind of like a training program, sort of a leadership program, I guess, for the college group, Saltworks, at San Jose State, but at Hillview. And there is a campus study at San Jose State. So got more involved in those, and that was joining that core group and getting that extra training and being put into these positions where I was outside of my comfort zone. It really was something God used to stretch me and grow my endurance and my reliance on him. And I also, again, got to enjoy some sweet fellowship with some brothers and sisters who were doing core group with me, and got to grow closer to some friends and got to make some new friends. So it was this really awesome time, and God really restored to me tenfold that community I felt I had lost after COVID at Santa Clara when these Christian ministries died out. So I was really excited after that year, and I saw some fruit in some longtime ministries I'd been involved in. We have Wednesday night kids clubs at Hillview, and I help with the boys club with the elementary age boys, and one of the boys who I'd been praying for years, and he finally accepted the Lord in that May of 2025. And so that was, I was ecstatic. And so going into the summer of 2025, I was super encouraged, and I was really excited for what might happen in that summer. I had high hopes, and it was an eventful summer. It was really fun, and I think there's a lot of fruit that came from it. But to be quite frank, it didn't quite go the way I was hoping. And that was, I was like, I had done all these things, and I had even enjoyed them, but also some of that joy wasn't quite there, and I was not sure why. I was kind of at a loss. Like, what wasn't clicking? Like, what was missing from that summer? And I think what I realized was I had set up some expectations for how I wanted the summer to go, certain things I wanted to see happen that were not founded on what God's will was or what God was doing necessarily, but they're founded on just my own desires for how I wanted things to go. And so as Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. But for me, I was planning my way, and I was stopping there and trying to then make my own plan happen. And I was holding too rigidly to this plan I had come up with in my mind of how things were going to go this summer. And so I was left with these unmet expectations, and I wasn't trusting God to just direct my steps. And so that was what happened that summer, and some of that joy of service and the joy of fellowship was lost a little bit that summer. And instead of having that fellowship with my brothers and sisters, I fell into some jealousy of what other brothers were seeing happen in their lives that summer that I wasn't getting. And so as 2 Timothy 2:13 says, though, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And praise the Lord, he wasn't done with me that summer just because of a few shortcomings and my own heart not being centered on him. He remained faithful. And so I learned that next year through Saltworks and through Sunday mornings, the sermons at Hillview, some key verses, James 4:10 and 1 Peter 5:6, which both talk about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he will exalt you at the proper time. What had happened that summer was I had gotten ahead of myself and thought, oh, like, I'm going to do all these things and make all these things happen. And I hadn't humbled myself before the Lord first and opened myself to what he was going to do. And so he used that summer to humble me, praise the Lord. And so going into that next year, 2025 to 2026, he really did some cool things in my life and pushed me even further outside my comfort zone in ways I wasn't expecting going into that year. So he gave me the opportunity to be the director for the Christmas play, the kids' Christmas play at Hillview, and that was an awesome experience. It was such a joy, and it was definitely, I felt a little bit out of my depth going into it, but he was really faithful through that and provided the people to support me and just the direction from him of how to do everything. I also started working at this school for kids with severe autism, and that was also very outside my comfort zone. But he showed me how he had actually been preparing me for these things over the years. And he sustained me through that. He gave me peace in the situations I didn't know how to handle. And he gave me, again, since he had humbled me at that point, I was ready to hear the feedback that people gave me that would help me then grow in those areas and actually do a good job in these things. And so as 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, his grace was sufficient and his power was perfected in weakness in my life. And I was not totally qualified to do these things that he had put before me, but he qualified me to do them. And he gave me the endurance to obey. And I grew in my confidence that year. And that's a huge thing for me. Confidence has always been something I've struggled with. But he grew my confidence that year, and it's not because of my own abilities, but he grew my confidence in his own faithfulness. So I think the most recent lesson he's been teaching me just this past few months has been something that Jesus talks about in John 4. So he just gets done talking to the woman at the well, and then his disciples come, and they're like, Jesus, have something to eat. And Jesus is like, I have food to eat that you don't know about. As a friend of mine likes to say, I have secret bread. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And I think God's been teaching me that very recently, to find my satisfaction in just simply obeying him. There was this guy I was sharing the gospel with, I met at San Jose State, and we were meeting, and it ran into lunchtime, and then I had to go to class right after, so I had to skip lunch, which, any of you who know me, that's kind of a crazy thing for me to do. I go into low power mode when I don't eat enough. But God sustained me through it, and beyond just physical sustenance, which certainly he has done in some situations, he's taught me that real satisfaction comes from just simply obeying him. And it was really made clear to me on the day of my graduation. I graduated grad school just this past May, and on the day of my graduation, that morning, I met with this guy who I mentioned earlier, who I'd been meeting with and sharing the gospel with, and he finally accepted the Lord. And I was so grateful for that, and that I got to be a part of it. And I come to my graduation then, and I'm sitting in the stands in the rows, and we are getting ready to walk the stage and receive our diplomas. And all of my classmates are just excited out of their minds. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, this is cool. But like, my friend Aaron accepted the Lord. Like, I have a new brother in Christ now. Like, and just seeing God be faithful in that way, and just the satisfaction of like, yeah, like all I did was like just obey the Lord and meet up with this guy. Like, I don't think it was anything of my doing. It was what God was doing in his life. And just getting to see that was so much more satisfying than all of the pomp and circumstance of the graduation and finishing grad school and all that. Like, sure, that was an accomplishment, but I think the real satisfaction comes from just obeying the Lord and from seeing what he's doing in my life. And so that's what he's been teaching me most recently. And that's not to say I've perfectly learned this lesson or any of the other lessons. I still have a long way to go in growing in my confidence in him, in courage, in finding satisfaction in him, in not setting up my own expectations and humbling myself. But I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So thank you for having me, for letting me share a bit of my story with you guys, and I hope it encourages you. And now I got to go run to a wedding. But thank you for having me. I'm really grateful for this opportunity. So thank you. Praise the Lord for all he's done.
Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Olivia Abraham, and I've been attending Hillview Bible Chapel my whole life with my parents, Jacob and Joy Lynn, and my sister, Maya. So I was born and raised in a strong Christian family, and growing up in the church, I had an understanding of the gospel from an early age. When I was 5, I recognized that I was a sinner and in need of salvation, and I prayed with my grandpa to accept the Lord as my personal savior. At that point, I was happy that I wasn't going to hell, but it was through different trials, such as my grandpa's passing and struggles with anxiety during my junior high and early high school years, the Lord showed me exactly how much I needed an actual relationship and intimacy with him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 17:3. In 2020, I obeyed the Lord in baptism, and I thought that I was in a good place spiritually, yet I was operating under the mentality that I could maintain my relationship with God based on my faithfulness to him. However, I was soon able to see how God used my inconsistencies in my walk to draw me closer to him through his grace and my growing dependence on him in a way that brought me peace I'd never experienced before. 2 years ago, I felt called to participate in Step 1, and that was a really great experience. God really used that program to teach me how to practically apply the truth of the gospel in my daily life and challenge several misconceptions that I projected onto him and his character, such as the thought that my obedience was directly tied with his love for me. When I gave my testimony for Step 2 years ago, I didn't mention that I had just made the very important decision of where I was going to go for college. Going into my junior year of high school, I knew for certain that the Lord wanted me to pursue nursing, so I really focused my work in those last 2 years to make this happen. By the time I had to make my decision, I narrowed it down to 2 different schools, but I had no peace for which direction to go. One option was a direct entry nursing program that offered more independence and what I thought would be the full college experience. And the other was San Jose State's pre-nursing route, which came with no guarantee of eventually being admitted into the program. I really struggled with this decision as I was trying to discern the Lord's will from my own and from the many voices around me. I prayed constantly for clarity, but I felt like I wasn't getting much. Then, the night before I went to SJSU's Admitted Students Day, I heard a testimony at a SaltWorks event about surrendering every aspect of our lives to the Lord. And the speaker specifically mentioned his college decision and how he could look back and see how the Lord had blessed him for making his decision in faith and out of a place of submission to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. With that in mind, I went to SJSU the next day thinking that if God wanted me there, I'd have one of those movie moments where everything felt perfect and obvious. Instead, it poured rain all day, and I was cold and tired, and the meetings were long, and the campus tour was chaotic, and there were definitely no sunshine and rainbows moments. Yet, through all of that, I had an overwhelming peace that this was exactly where God wanted me. In the weeks that followed, he continued to confirm that decision and remind me that my future rests in his hands, not in the temporary things or the choices that the world would said would give me security. At the same time, part of me was secretly hoping that in making this faithful decision, God would automatically reward me with an easy path and my preferred results, but he eventually helped me reach a point where I was truly at peace, knowing that if I never got into the nursing program, his plan would still be good. During that year of pre-nursing, I was so blessed to see some of the reasons why God had me at SJSU. I stayed connected to my church family, I remained involved in SaltWorks, and I was able to serve and participate in campus ministry. Praise the Lord, this past November, he graciously allowed me to get accepted into the nursing program. Sorry, I just get emotional thinking back because I just completely forget how big of a unknown and a prayer request it was, so I'm just grateful. I came prepared. This happened last week. It was another reminder of his faithfulness and confirmation to me that God had me exactly where he wanted me. This January, I started the program, and with it came a lot of challenges and lessons that I didn't expect. I've always been a very relational person, never really struggling to connect with others. I tend to rely heavily on community and friendships for fulfillment. However, this semester, no matter how hard I tried, I wasn't able to connect with or grow as deep in friendship with my peers as I would have liked. I've never felt so out of place and alone, and I think part of that was due to me, not participating in the same secular lifestyles as a lot of them, but mostly I just couldn't understand why this was my experience. It was just tough being in a really rigorous program while feeling lonely and without that internal peer support. But at the same time, I was able to see so much of God's goodness in one semester. I can look back at different times in my life where these hardships would have torn me up, or I would have felt entitled to doubt God's love for me. But I couldn't even bring myself to question his character in that way. Yeah, in the past, that would just be such a habit for me and just something I would just automatically turn to doubt him or to doubt his faithfulness. But I just couldn't. Yes, a lot of moments were hard, but God has never abandoned me. And I couldn't help but trust him and feel his presence tangibly with me on campus. Even at times when I struggled with feeling inadequate or overwhelmed, he gently humbled me and reminded me of where my strength comes from. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. More gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And God, while God was teaching me to rely on his presence instead of those around me, he really used the body at Hillview, especially my college group family, to encourage me and show me how stark a contrast there is between the unconditional love of God in comparison to the love that the world gives. I've always been surrounded by secular friends on campus, but I've been learning how to be a light, specifically within my small cohort. And I've been so encouraged seeing how practical biblical living, especially as outlined in Proverbs, is not done in vain, but it brings prosperity and integrity, even if prosperity doesn't look like the approval of those around you. These experiences have fueled me to continue to take steps of faith, such as deciding to do step 2 this summer. The step 2 focus of ministering to others through the gospel and service within the body is helping me grow in areas that I want my life to be centered around. Especially in these college years where I'm surrounded by so many people my age who are living in so much darkness and pain without the Lord. I'm excited to look back on this summer and see how the Lord used it to equip me to serve him and his people. I know that I have so much more to learn and many more ups and downs to come, but I also know that God's grace is sufficient for me and will continue to carry me as I grow in him. Thank you.
Your help. I'm good. Can you help me? Awkward.
You are good. I'm gonna put the mic for you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, turn with me to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Good afternoon. You know who I am, so no introduction there. Joshua 24. Life is full of choices. And some of the most difficult choices that we have to make in life sometimes come at the most unexpected times. One particular choice that I had to make comes to mind, and it was the last time that I was at a place called Mary Ann's. If you don't know who Mary Ann's is or what Mary Ann's is an ice cream parlor in Santa Cruz. And if you've never been there, then the first thing that you'll notice when you walk into Mary Ann's is a wall that is full, that is absolutely covered with flavors of ice cream. Must be about 200 flavors of ice cream, flavors I had no idea even existed. And so you walk into Mary Ann's, and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by the number of choices that you have. You'll take a number, and that number for me was number 95, and I realized that we were only on number 65, and so I had a lot of time to ponder my choices. When it finally became time for me to make a choice, I started to ask the girl that worked there to try flavors. I was trying samples, and I asked for chocolate and vanilla and heaven, which is an actual flavor, Kahlua Crunch, North Oregon Blackberry, White Raspberry Marble, and the list went on. I want that one and that one and that one and that one and that one. And this blissful experience turned into a crashing reality with five simple words. She asked me, which flavor would you like? Which flavor would you like? And all of a sudden, I realized that I had to make a choice. I looked around for my friends, the ones that I had come with. They were nowhere to be found. They had all chosen their ice creams and were busy enjoying their choices. This was a choice I had to make for myself. I also realized that there was a line of about 30 people behind me, people that were waiting for their ice cream, and there was some urgency or a time sensitivity to my choice. And lastly, I looked at the wall again, and I realized that there were so many flavors, and I had to pick one. I had to choose decisively. And feedback I got from my last, because I preached this already once, but I'm going to just tell you what flavor I chose, because that was the thing that everyone wanted to know when I was done. I chose the same flavor I always choose. It's North Oregon Blackberry every time. Okay? So now that that's out of the way, we can see in our text today that Joshua and the Israelites were also presented with a choice. Joshua and the Israelites were also presented with a choice. We're in Joshua 24. But unlike the choice in what flavor ice cream to choose, which literally didn't matter the next day, the choice that Joshua and the Israelites were presented with was a choice that had eternal ramifications. It's the same choice that we're being presented with today. And today, we won't talk as much about the specific choice. We'll actually talk about the manner in which we're called to respond to that choice. We'll answer the question, how should I respond to this choice that I'm being presented with? And we'll see that the answer is threefold. We'll see that we must choose personally, urgently, and decisively. We must choose personally, urgently, and decisively. Our key text today is Joshua 24:15. But before we jump into that verse, we have about 13 verses of context written by the Holy Spirit. And I'll do my best to summarize, because it really does provide a really nice lead-in for our text today. The first 13 verses really summarize God's relationship, his interaction with the people of Israel from the time that he called Abraham out of the land of beyond the Euphrates, from that time until they actually entered into the promised land. And actually, even after they had entered into the promised land, how he continued for those hundreds of years to demonstrate his sovereignty, his goodness, and his faithfulness towards his people. His sovereignty, his goodness, and his faithfulness towards his people. This is a first-person narrative given by God, and we'll see references to God almost 20 times in these 13 verses. And it's an extremely active passage. If you just scan briefly, you'll see phrases like, I took, I gave, I sent, I brought, I handed, I eliminated, I saved, I drove out. God was so active. He was so faithful. And the Israelites knew these stories. These were stories that were familiar to them. They were familiar with God's faithfulness, his goodness, and his sovereignty. And now they found themselves already in the promised land, already having exercised a portion of faith to even go into the promised land. And all of this culminates in verse 13, where we see this. It says, and I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built. and you have lived in them, and you are eating of vineyards and olive groves, which you did not plant. You did not plant. What's he saying here? He's saying that all of the benefits that they were reaping were not benefits that they earned. They didn't do anything to deserve these. Really, we call that God's grace. God had been extremely gracious with the Israelites, and he had poured out that grace, and they were experiencing the benefits of that. And in turn, we see that God asks that they fear him, and this is verse 14. God asks that they fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and do away with the gods which their fathers served. Fear the Lord, serve him, and do away with other gods. To fear the Lord is the reasonable response to a sovereign and good God. To serve him is to serve means to be enslaved to. They were to set God as the authority in their life and serve him as a master. And they were to do away with other gods. There were no fences to be sat on. Matthew 6:24 says, "You cannot serve two masters." And all of this is the thrust, is the drive that brings us into our key text today, which is verse 15. Verse 15 starts by saying, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord." And if you're like me, this is a phrase that kind of catches you off guard. In the context of everything that we're talking about, hundreds of years of proven faithfulness, track record, demonstrated by God, to just do what he says and to do even better than we could ask or think, how can this be disagreeable? You know, I've seen this verse plastered to the walls of the houses of hundreds of saints, and this phrase is never part of that poster. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord. I mean, we say that, and we should be kind of sheepish about really admitting to that, but the author puts this here for a very specific reason, and that reason is because it can be disagreeable in our sight to serve the Lord. Despite goodness and faithfulness demonstrated in our lives, sometimes it is difficult. I know for me, it definitely can be. The reason I believe that it's difficult is because we have to admit to what we see in verse 13, that we have goodness poured out in our lives that we didn't earn, we didn't deserve, we didn't labor for the things that we were given. They were poured out through God's grace. This requires humility, requires understanding that we did not earn and we did not labor for the things that we have been given. You know, last week you heard from Evan about how the Lord is our shepherd. And, you know, even there's a disagreeable truth. If the Lord is our shepherd, then we must admit that we are sheep. We must admit that we're helpless, that we need a protector. We need someone to show us how to eat, how to lie down, where to find food, where to drink water. People don't want to do that. People don't want to do that. We need to use this phrase as an opportunity to take our temperature. Are there things that are disagreeable to us? Are there things that the Lord is asking us to do that are difficult? Maybe it's difficult to read your Bible. Maybe it's difficult to serve. Maybe agreeing to bring food to that ministry is kind of out of the wheelhouse and out of the capabilities, out of bandwidth. There are times where it is difficult. But these are times, these are opportunities like taking your temperature to find the fever, to assess, to diagnose, and to do something about it. And what we'll see today is that the thing that we need to do is to make a choice. This brings us into our second phrase here in verse 15. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. This is the choice. Who are you going to serve? You'll notice that the verse does not say choose whether you will serve. It says choose whom you will serve. Everyone here will serve something. This is part of our DNA, our genetic makeup. We were made to serve. We're made to serve and worship the living God. But if it is disagreeable in your sight, choose who you will serve. If it's not God, it will be something else. The verse says, we will choose for yourselves. Choose for yourselves. This is why I said this must be a personal decision. This decision cannot be made by your parents, cannot be made by your siblings. It cannot be made by your friends, other people in your family, a trusted discipler, your church, your coworkers. They cannot make this decision for you. You must choose for yourself. The reason that you must choose for yourself is because with personal decision comes conviction, and with conviction comes action. It's the same reason why Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And people said, some say that you're John the Baptist, some Moses or the other prophets. And Jesus looks at them and says, but who do you say that I am? And that's where we get this wonderful confession from Peter that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds and says, upon this rock I will build my church. He's almost saying, Peter, you're ready. We know that Peter would go on to make lots of mistakes, but based on that simple conviction, that personal choice that Peter made, Jesus could say, you're ready, and I'm going to use you to build my church. We must make a personal choice. Second, we see that we are to choose for ourselves today. Choose for yourselves today. Don't wait. You know, there's a story that comes to mind about Satan in his workshop in the underworld with three apprentices. And he's working with them, trying to prepare them to enter the world for his work. And he says to the first apprentice, what is the lie that you will tell mankind? And the apprentice says, I will tell men that there is no God. Satan said, very good. See, men will look, they will want there to be no God. But this will only be partially effective because man needs to not look past nature to know that there is a God. But go. He says to the second apprentice, what is the lie that you will sow in mankind? And the second apprentice says, I will say that there is no hell. And Satan says, good, go. But you will only be partially effective too. Because man knows that there are some things that deserve judgment. But go. And to the third apprentice, he said, what is the lie that you will tell mankind? And the third apprentice looked at him and said, I will tell them there is no hurry. Satan said, go and ruin men by the thousands. See, it is not overly complicated. The devil's plan is really to just distract you and keep you busy until the Lord comes ready to judge. Nobody knows when, like a thief in the night. And as long as you're busy and distracted, when that moment comes, he's won. He's done his job. And that's why it is so important. So important that we make this choice now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Finally, we'll see in this passage that there are choices to make. In this passage, the writer mentions two types of gods, gods that were beyond the Euphrates and the gods of the Amorites. These are Babylonian polytheistic gods and Canaanite polytheistic gods. These gods don't mean anything to us today. These are not the gods that we serve. But we do have gods that we serve, gods that we need to choose between. These gods could be things like our job, like our families even, like what people think of us, comforts. These are the gods that we serve today. And if you're not sure what that God is that you're serving, then there's some simple questions that you can ask yourself to better diagnose who the gods are that you serve. Ask yourself, what makes you fearful? What brings you stress? What do you get excited about? These are the things that help us to understand where our value is. Where does your time go? Where does your money go? What do you value? See, for us, we have to make a choice. And the author of this passage makes a swift and decisive choice for himself. It's at the end of this verse. It says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua made his choice. He chose to serve the Lord. He saw the grace of God, and he knew that that was the right decision to make. Life in the Lord can be abundant. These are things that were promised. John says that that Jesus came so that we would have life and have it abundantly. Matthew says that if we seek him first, everything else will be added. Jesus said that he came so that our joy would be complete. Life in the Lord can be extremely joyful. He came to bring peace, peace that he gives. And he came to give us an eternal life, a life where we know that we can be at peace with God and live with him in perpetuity, in perfect union and harmony. And so to close, I just want to show you that even in this text today, we see a snapshot of the gospel. In verse 13, we see the grace of God poured out, an abundant life that he had planned for his people. In verse 14, we saw that in order to experience this life, we have to make a choice. We have to choose to serve him as Lord. And in verse 15, we see that it can be disagreeable to serve him. Sometimes we choose other gods. We call this sin. And in verse 15, we see that the answer to that is to let go of those other gods and to grab on to Jesus Christ. This is something that we all need to make. If you haven't made this decision yet, this is an urgent decision. Your eternity hangs in the balance. You must choose to serve the Lord. Submit your life to him. And if you have, this choice is not a one-and-done choice. We continue to have to make this decision to serve the Lord. And I really want to just spend the last few minutes telling you about my story. Because in my life, I had to continue to make this choice to serve the Lord over and over again. I grew up in a Christian home. And really spent my early years of life choosing to serve myself. I lived my life for pleasure, to have as much fun as I could have without ruining my life. That was really how I would say like my motto in life was. And over those years, I made a lot of mistakes. I frequently ran to drugs and alcohol to escape the pressures and the responsibilities of life. I did other things that I'm not proud of. But in each of those, I would run into a wall, and then I would think that I could just adjust, adapt, and overcome. And overall, I could manage the damage that I was doing to myself. But there was nothing wrong with the direction, with the gods that I was choosing to serve. Eventually, I ran into a brick wall. It was very painful, and it cost me quite a lot. But it was in that moment that I was presented again with a choice to make. I could either keep choosing to serve myself, or I could choose to serve the Lord. I was presented with the gospel. I was presented with the grace that God wanted to show me, the life that he had for me. And I had to make a choice. And I chose to serve the Lord in that moment. I chose to prioritize the Lord in my life more than the easy fun, the cheap thrills. I started to really walk with the Lord. And for about 6 months, I was walking with the Lord. I was understanding his plan for my life, and I was living according to that. But all of this happened in the middle of my college years, and I made a decision, a very innocent decision, to go back and finish school. It wasn't something that was obviously sinful at the time, but I did choose to go back to San Diego to finish college. And over time, I stopped making that choice to serve. I continued to prioritize school, and then grad school, and then my career. I continued to people in my life to keep me on track and to show me that I was not choosing to serve the Lord. And so over time, I fell back into a lot of the old habits that I was in. I tried to balance priorities, but balancing priorities is serving two masters. It is not full commitment to the Lord. And I found out the hard way that when I tried to serve two masters, only one dog won the fight, and it was the dog that I was feeding, and it wasn't the Lord. I was not prioritizing the Lord. And so a few years ago, I came back to Grace, and I was in a very broken place. A lot of the things that I had put stock in my life had fallen apart, relationships, my career. A lot of the things that were important to me, gods that I served. And I was met with one verse that kind of sums up really the last 2 years for me. And it's Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added." All he's saying, life is really simple. Just put Jesus first. Everything else will fall into place. Just put Jesus first. Make conscious decisions. And I did that. I remember at that time I quit my job, and I was really in a place where I was ready. If the Lord wanted me to go into missions or to work at In-N-Out, like, I was ready. I was ready in my heart to do what he wanted me to do. And for that summer, what he wanted me to do was step. It was, I did step track one. And step track one really set a foundation. I want to be clear that I will talk about STEP, but STEP is just an avenue. It's a program for you to get to know Jesus. There's nothing magical about STEP. Jesus is the answer. But STEP will provide the structure for a young believer to actually wrestle with these truths, to get that exposure, and to get a lot of exposure in a very short amount of time. And so STEP really, I mean, you could think of it like I was like a human cannonball, right? And they loaded me into the cannon that was step one, and boom, and it launched me, right? And from there, youth ministry, getting opportunities to preach, like, all of these things happened so fast. They happened so fast. I started a new job with a title in leadership, and all of these things happened not because of my own, my capabilities, not because of training even. They came because I just continued to put Jesus first, to keep seeking him above everything else. And it hasn't been easy. There isn't, this pink cloud that follows me everywhere. There are some very difficult times and very difficult days. But a lot of the things that I, deeply desired in life have come to fruition because I've put him first in my life. I desired to be known and to be loved. I found that in the gospel, and I found that in my relationships with all of you. I desired to grow in the knowledge of God. He made me a teacher. I desire to be useful in life, and he's given me a purpose. And I desire to be at peace. I don't struggle with drugs or alcohol anymore, and I don't struggle with it because I'm at peace with God. And so if I could exhort you to do one thing today, it's to make a choice. Choose who you'll serve, and I will. And I pray that that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I praise you for what you've done in my life. Lord, it's nothing short of amazing, Lord. How you've transformed me, how you've taken me from a place of so much brokenness and hurt, and put me in a place where I can be useful to you, Lord. To put me in a place where I know that I'm loved and cared for and that you know me. I don't deserve any of this, Lord. None of us do. But you continue to just deal with us so graciously, Lord, so mercifully. You continue to put us in a place where we can experience all of the good things in life, a place that is in you, Lord. And I just praise you for that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here that hasn't made that decision, hasn't experienced you and all of the good things that you offer, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would make that choice today, Lord. I believe that you have given me this text and this message for a very specific reason. I believe that there's someone here that needs to hear this, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir in their heart, Lord. Stir them to a decision, Lord. And for all of us that have made that decision, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to make that choice, Lord. This is a life that is spent, Lord, that you are in the middle of a good work in our lives, Lord. But we need to continue to submit ourselves to that work, Lord. We need to continue to stop getting in the way of the work that you're trying to do, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, reveal to us those areas of our lives that we continue to hold back from you, that we would be able to surrender those to you, Lord, and that we would choose to serve you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.